This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We're pleased you chose to join us this day, and we invite you to join us every Sunday at this time for worship with us.
We don't talk about it much in the church these days, but we do profess our belief in it as we say our Apostles' Creed each week. I'm talking about Christ's return, the second coming. I invite you to stay with me as we take a look at what Jesus said about his return and what it means for you and me. Let's pray. Merciful and gracious God, we praise you this day for your faithfulness and goodness and love towards this world. While we were still sinners, you gave your Son Jesus to die for us in order to make us your own. As we prepare our hearts and minds, draw near to us through your holy word and open our eyes to see the wonders of your power, mercy, and grace. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Ring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Ring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord. Seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all.
I was 1,000 miles from home, a visitor at a morning worship service. This one I found offered more than liturgy, hymns, a sermon, or handshakes. The church custodian was leaving after having served there well and long. The congregation was taking time that morning to offer the custodian. They called him forward, gave him gifts, offered him spoken tributes. They talked of how he had never rebuffed even the shyest child, of how he had labored with patience and humor regardless of the situation. But one description does stay in my memory. Someone said, he never lost sight of the large picture. Dear friends, this little story about the custodian isn't mine. It's a true story, but it was written by a Lutheran author, Gerhard Frost. It was part of a devotion in which he went on to say, the large picture, can we see it, you and I? God gives us a glimpse of it in his word. He helps us to see beyond the aches of the present to the beauty of the endless future. You see, sometimes it's difficult for us to keep our eyes on that larger picture. Day-to-day living with its many priorities and problems and hardships, concerns, responsibilities, all clamor for our total attention and allegiance, and we oftentimes we'll find ourselves losing sight of the ultimate, the infinite, the eternal, the larger picture. And sometimes when life is a little dark and the world seems to be spinning out of control, we do catch ourselves wondering what is going to become of this world. We lose sight of the large picture. Well, that's what our text for today discusses. It's a reminder that there is a large picture and that we are headed towards something. The disciples of Jesus had come to him and asked him about when the end times would be and what would be the signs. When are you coming again? They asked. Jesus, you see, had gotten them thinking about that as he talked of the coming destruction of the Jerusalem temple. His first response described hard times ahead for them. Their lives would be filled with suffering and confusion, lots of waiting, lots of questions. But listen to what he said in response to their question about when. Matthew 24, verse 36. But about that day and hour, Jesus said, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. A couple things jump out at me right away. First of all, Jesus points out that this is something that God is in charge of, this world of ours. He says, the angels don't know, the Son, he doesn't know, only the Father knows. He's in charge of this world. He made it, and he has every intention of keeping it, and he knows where it's headed. We also see in this passage that Jesus is making a claim for himself. He says, the Son doesn't know. He, in all likelihood, was pointing to himself. Here we see Jesus referring to himself as the Son of God. He's the one that was the part of the Godhead in the flesh now to live amongst God's people. In our Apostles' Creed, we're drawing that picture, aren't we? I believe in Jesus, the only Son of the Father. We believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, the Apostles' Creed tells us, and that he has come into our world. And then Jesus completes that portion of the creed that we sometimes say when we say, and he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Jesus goes on to say, the Son of Man is coming again. First, the Son of God has come. As we approach Christmas, we remember that this is the first coming. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, full of grace and truth. Why did this Word, the Son of God, come? He came because humanity was lost in sin, you and me. The wages of sin is eternal death. There's no way out on our own. The world was doomed. But thanks be to God, our Father in heaven loved us so much, he gave his only begotten Son. He came to us taking on human flesh. He later died on the cross as a payment for your sins and mine. He took our punishment upon himself. God raised him on the third day from the grave and promises that as we trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for us, we have the promise of forgiveness and eternal life. God has ultimately given Jesus all authority over heaven and earth. And someday, he's coming again, but not as a tiny helpless babe in a manger, but in power and glory and might as the Son of Man, Jesus tells us today. That's an Old Testament power figure that Jesus liked to use of himself, one who would come in power and judgment. He's coming again, the Son of Man. Now, note, Jesus teaches us in this passage, we cannot know when he is coming again. Like the flood which came upon the earth at the time of Moses, it will come as a total surprise. We see in another place that Christ's coming is described as the coming of a thief in the night. We don't know when, we just trust that he is. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, coming again in power. And though we don't know the signs, we do know what that return means for the world. As Jesus said, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding wheat in the mill, one will be taken, one left behind. What we have here is a picture of judgment, of a separating out. When he returns, it will be the time of judgment, and some will be taken with him, and others will be left. It all depends upon one's relationship with Christ Jesus, if they belong to him or not. The book of Revelation tells us, for us as Christians, that is a day to look forward to. It will be a great day of joy and celebration. It's going to be a homecoming as Christ takes his own to himself as he promised. No more tears, no more death, no more suffering, a new heaven and a new earth. Hear John's words. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not smite them by day, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. There we have it. The large picture. Christ has come. He's coming again. And it will be a great day that we will experience when he returns. This is our hope. This is the ground for our confidence and optimism as Christians. This is the ground of confidence as we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We know, we trust that God is in charge. Christ is coming again. But Jesus didn't leave it there. He didn't leave them to simply sit and wait around. Instead, he continued to instruct them on living out the in-between times. He said to them a couple different things. He said, keep awake, and he said, be ready. Now remember who's saying this. This is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given after the resurrection. He's calling us to heed these words as his servants and live them out in obedience and trust. He insists that we take him seriously and not ignore this. I heard a story years ago about Coach Bear Bryant, who had a brilliant career coaching football at Alabama. He was tough and demanding of his players, and you did what Bear said if you were on his team. Well, one year he had this starting quarterback who was a bit headstrong and was giving Bear Bryant real fits. But the kid was good, and he was the starting quarterback, a little slow on his feet, but he had a good passing arm. During one particular game, Alabama was 6 points ahead, late into the fourth quarter of the game, only a couple minutes left. Alabama had the ball. The opposing team had called a timeout. Coach Bryant told his quarterback, play it safe. Don't you dare throw the ball or I'll kill you, myself. You keep the ball on the ground and run the clock out. The young quarterback nodded, but when he got back to the huddle, he didn't follow the instructions. He told the team, "They're waiting for us to run. Let's surprise them. I'll throw a pass." So he went out to throw a pass, saw a man open, threw the ball in his direction, but it was intercepted by a pass defender who just happened to be that school's top champion sprinter. He picked up a couple of blocks, and before you know it, he was headed for the goal line. It looked like a sure touchdown, but all of a sudden out of nowhere came this slow quarterback streaking towards that runner, and he caught him and tackled him at the 10-yard line just as the clock ran out. Alabama won the game. After the game, the opposing team's coach asked Bear Bryant, "How in the world did your quarterback catch my sprinter?" Bryant's reply was, "Your man was running for 6 points. My man was running for his life." Our Lord's instruction is meant to be taken seriously. Our lives depend upon it. So what does it mean, first of all, to be ready? To be ready means, first of all, placing your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When I say faith, I mean trust. It's more than having correct thoughts in your head. It's about trusting Jesus Christ and His Word and what He did for you. It's following Him each day, surrendering yourself to His care. That's being ready. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Some have argued no one could know that for sure. Jesus came and died and rose again so that you and I can know for sure. The Bible says that all these things were written for us in order that you may know that you have eternal life in Christ. Place your trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Ask Him into your life today, if you haven't done so already. That's the first step in being ready for Christ's return. And then you stick with that gospel and keep trusting it and keep living with it the rest of your days. To keep awake is to simply be like a watchman who keeps watch. Stay awake and live with a spirit of expectancy, like He is coming any day. Christians are to keep their eye out for Him. Not like astronomers looking through a telescope, but more like captives in a prison camp, longing for the day that will allow them to go home. Christ told us when He comes, He'll take us to Himself. We'll go home. It's interesting to note as well, after Jesus gets done with this little portion with His disciples, He went on to describe what it means to be ready by talking about it as taking action on our part. He first talked about servants who will be blessed when the master returns to find them at work. He describes bridesmaids that are allowed into the wedding celebration because they stayed awake and watched expectantly for the bridegroom. He described in a parable servants who took the money their master had entrusted to them while he was away, and they did something with it for the master's sake. He described compassionate people who were welcomed in, who fed the poor, cared for the needy, and they heard the master say, "Whatever you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Friends, you and I have been given a great treasure, the gospel, the good news of Christ Jesus. Jesus calls us into His world to tell that story and point people in His direction at every opportunity He affords us. We are called to care about those who don't know Him yet and find ways to connect them to Him through our words and our loving actions. Suppose you knew that you only had a few days left to live. Isn't there someone in your life that you want to check in with, make sure that they know that gospel story, that they might trust in it and be saved? Perhaps it's a parent, a friend, a child, a sister, a brother. Christ's counting on you, wherever you are, to do just that. And don't wait. Do it now. You don't know when it could all be over and the opportunity could be missed. Each day is an opportunity, another gift from God, to love somebody into the kingdom with your words and your actions. So there we have it. Christ has come. Christ is coming again. Shakespeare's statement in the play Macbeth, which reads, "History is not a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury signifying nothing." It is, in a real sense, history, his story. From creation to Christ, to the new heaven and new earth, God is in charge. The world is headed not for ultimate chaos and disaster, but for the return of the King Jesus and his coronation. That's our hope. Ultimately, he's in charge. Hang on to that one. And you and me, well, as we wait, heed his words, keep watch. Live each day as if it might be the last. Be ready. Serve the Master. May Jesus find you awake and ready. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. That God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, How great thou art, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou
art. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. And thank you for the promise that Christ is coming again, that you are in control of history. May those words be our strength, encouragement, and guidance as we serve Christ in our world and wait for his return. We pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. As we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, we thank God for the blessings we enjoy. It's our prayer that you'll stay safe as you travel and enjoy a blessed holiday with loved ones. To help meet our obligation for increased radio costs, Christian Crusaders has established the GEM Club as an invitation for listeners to contribute to our ministry. GEM Club members make a regular monthly contribution of any amount. To learn more about becoming a GEM Club member, call our office at 1-888-693-2484. You can also direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes both a weekly email newsletter and a quarterly print newsletter to bring new information to our listeners. The weekly e-newsletter contains a preview of the upcoming program, while the print newsletter, called The Crusader, contains a special article by Reverend Larson and thoughts on faith and life from other members of our staff. Please call our office to join our mailing list. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders and Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.